more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
What a time we had with Apostle Robert Summers and John Eckhart at the 21st Century Prophetic Roundtable in downtown Columbus, Ohio. Today's question is from the roundtable and is answered by Apostle John Eckhart. The question:
can you explain the difference between activation and impartation?
Okay, impartation is when if I lay hands on you and I release something into your life, a gift, an anointing. Activation is just activating the gifts that are already there.
So it's like the stirring up.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
If you operate in the prophetic realm or have wondered where is the voice of the prophet, John Eckhart's message will be water for your thirsty soul. Here are a few excerpts from the conference.
In Numbers chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 24 through 28. It says, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him," referring to Moses, "and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." Verse 26, "But there remained two of these men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid them." Now I want you to notice the words of Moses. "And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." So here we see the heart of a leader who is a prophet, and God taking the spirit that was upon Moses and putting it on these 70 elders to assist him in leading the people. Now, there are several principles we can draw from these passages. I believe one of the major principles we can draw is that if you are in leadership, there should be a prophetic dimension on your life. These 70 elders were chosen by Moses to help him lead the people because Moses was so overwhelmed in leading the people till he asked God, either give me some help or kill me. It's bad when the preacher wants to die, but the work was so overwhelming, and God told him, gather 70 elders. I'm going to take the spirit that's upon you. I'm going to put it on them. And they began to prophesy. And again, the principle is if you're in leadership, even if you are not, quote, a prophet, unquote, if you're not called to be a fivefold prophet, maybe you're an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, an elder, there should be a prophetic dimension upon your life. And often in our leadership of churches, we have leaders that are not prophetic, and that's a problem. Some of them are not prophetic because they believe that you have to be a prophet in order to be prophetic. But Moses specifically says that when God's spirit comes upon people, they can be prophetic. Now, we know in Joel chapter 2, Joel prophesies in the last days that the Lord will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters would prophesy. And then in Acts chapter 2, it's fulfilled with 120 in the upper room. They begin to speak in tongues, and the fulfillment of Joel, that they would prophesy, even though they spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is it's not technically prophecy, but it comes under the umbrella of prophecy because it's inspired utterance. It's inspired utterance in another tongue. Really, what prophecy is inspired utterance. And one of the definitions of a prophet is an inspired man. And a prophetess was an inspired woman. Someone inspired by God to move in the spirit was considered prophetic. And so every believer that is baptized in the Holy Ghost has within them and upon them a prophetic dimension that sometimes is not released because we believe that you have to be a prophet in order to be prophetic. But all of God's people should be prophetic. And even though you may not be a prophet, you can still have the characteristics of a prophet to some degree. It's similar with evangelism. Just because you're not an evangelist does not mean you should not evangelize. I mean, everyone should win the lost. It doesn't make you an evangelist. So there's the gift of evangelist. Then there's the believer that evangelizes. The same thing with the prophet. There is a fivefold ministry of prophet. Everyone is not called to that. You can maybe an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, elder. We have a different ministry, but all of God's people should be prophetic. The problem is this, that if you attend most churches or seminaries or Bible schools, there's very little teaching often on the subject of the prophetic. In many Bible schools, they teach you how to be a pastor, how to conduct meetings, how to prepare sermons, homiletics, hermeneutics, different subject matter, how to counsel. But there's very few places you can go to if you are a prophet and be trained and developed. So many prophets, it's like they've been in the wilderness. And the problem, one of the problems of being in the wilderness is the first part of the word wilderness is the word wild. So we have a lot of prophets that are kind of wild. They really don't understand protocol.
There is a need for training of all the ministry gifts within the body of Christ. This is even more true for those who are called in their youth.
Sometimes because they've never been trained, because often God deals with prophets at a young age. We see Samuel was a young man when God began to deal with him. We know that Jeremiah was called from his mother's womb. We know that David was a young man. So often God begins to deal with an emerging prophet at a very young age. But their problem is they're immature and they need to be around someone who's more mature who can help train and develop them.
As with most of the spiritual things of God, we need to set the atmosphere through prayer and praise and worship. The prophetic gift is no different. You often notice that in a service that is ripe with worship, the Spirit of God is manifested through healing, deliverance, prophetic utterances, words of wisdom, and all of the gifts of the Spirit. The question is, are we providing an atmosphere that invites the very presence of God into our services, or are we just going through the motions? Are we experiencing the power of God, or is it a stale, stagnant program?
Often the problem with the lack of the prophetic is that our churches do not provide an atmosphere for the prophetic to flow. And instead, the Spirit of God is quenched or the leader does not understand it. And so as a result, all of God's people are not prophetic in that local assembly when they should be.
Pastor Eckhart talked about Jesus, the prophet.
Many people, when it comes to prophets, really don't see Jesus as a prophet. He's the Son of God. We know that he's the Messiah, the Christ. But the Lord had me to look at Jesus, the prophet, because when I began to study prophets, I drew a lot from Samuel and Moses and Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah. I looked at the different kinds of prophets, the different administrative flows of prophet. Of all the prophets in the Bible, Jesus is the perfect prophet. Now, let's read a few verses. Go to Deuteronomy 18:15, Acts 3 and 22, and Acts 7 and 37. Deuteronomy 18:15. This is Moses speaking to Israel. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Okay, that's Moses telling Israel that there's a prophet coming that's going to be similar to me. Acts 3 and 22, these are the words of Peter, and he's speaking to Israel. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Then Acts 7:37, these are the words of Stephen, similar to what Peter said. This is that Moses was said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto him like unto me, him shall ye hear. Now, the emphasis, Moses is speaking to Israel, and he's telling Israel, because the background is that when Israel came to the mountain of God and they heard the sound of the trumpet, they saw the lightning, they heard the thunder, they saw the fire, they were afraid. And they told Moses, you go and get the word of God and bring it to us because we're afraid. We don't want God to speak directly to us. And God told Moses, I'm glad that they said that because it really shows that they had fear, the fear of God. And so Moses then comes and tells Israel that because you did not want to hear God directly, God is going to send you a prophet like unto me, and you have to listen to him. The emphasis was whatever he says, you must listen to him. In Acts chapter 3, after verse 22, it actually says those who would not listen would be cut off. So when Jesus comes to Israel, he comes as a prophet. And it's really the background is this. All throughout Israel's history, they had killed the prophets. And the issue of the prophets was that the prophets in the old covenant were God's covenant messengers. And they were sent by God. Anytime Israel broke the covenant, they were sent by God to warn Israel of their covenant violations and to call them back to the covenant. Tell them to repent and come back to the covenant. And if you do, God's mercy will be upon you. But if you don't, God's judgment will be upon you. Israel, not only did they not return to the covenant, they killed the covenant messengers. So now there are two issues. One is they're breaking the covenant, and the second issue is that they're now killing the prophets. The emphasis there, Israel, you have broken covenant, you killed the prophets, now I am the prophet. And then they turned around and killed him. So there's a judgment coming. God's justice is about to be released. And all throughout their history, they have rejected the prophets, killed the prophets. Now God is saying, I'm going to send my son who is the prophet. If you don't listen to him, you're going to be cut off. So it was almost like it was the last chance for Israel. This was it. Either you hear him and be saved, or you reject him and you be cut off. Now, it's interesting that John the Baptist was in the wilderness as a prophet, and all Israel came out to the wilderness. And the reason why that is important is because God made the covenant with Israel in the wilderness at Sinai. So he's calling them back to the wilderness to repent. He's calling them back to the place of covenant to repent under John, who's the greatest of the old covenant prophets, the last and greatest of the old covenant prophets. Then Jesus comes as the prophet, and he's dealing with Israel as a rebellious nation. And it gives us some insight on what prophets deal with. Now, it's interesting that when you study the words of Christ, and I went back and read all the words of Christ, and I read it as a prophet speaking. Now, he's also a teacher. He's the Son of God. He's Messiah. But I began to focus upon him as the prophet like unto Moses. And that brings us to another element of why he's like unto Moses. When you begin to study the book of Revelation and the whole concept of Jesus, Moses was the one that brought Israel out of bondage. So really what the Lord is saying is there's now a second Exodus. Instead of bringing them out of a physical bondage, Jesus comes to bring them out of the bondage of that old covenant system that they were living under. Now, it's interesting that when you study the things that Jesus emphasized, because I wanted to see what did the prophet talk about the most. It's interesting that in the book of Matthew, he mentions hypocrisy, I believe, about 15 times. So there's something about hypocrisy that really grieved the prophet. Now, if you are a prophet and if you are prophetic, if it's one thing that will bug you, it's hypocrites.
Isn't it good to know you are not alone? You are not crazy. What you have longed for is from God. We pray that those who are experiencing spiritual frustration, you may be in a place where there is no prophetic flow, but God has gifted you to flow prophetically. May God use you to enlighten, to inspire, to ignite, to usher in a new thing. May each of you walk worthy of the vocation wherein Christ has called you, so that you bring honor to his name and make others thirsty for God. May the leadership where you are be open to what God will do. We pray that God trouble the waters. May the rivers of water flow freely as we learn to let God have his way. I pray this morning that God change the order of our programs and move us from our comfort zones. May those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, find at the altar the fullness of all they seek in Christ. To the hungry, Jesus calls, come and dine. If this is making you thirsty for a move of God, you are not alone. My soul thirsts for you, O God. I'm thirsty for you. Dear God, send us times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord to satisfy the longing and thirsting in my soul. I'm thirsty for you. We will leave you with some final excerpts.
Often leaders don't understand prophets. And the reason why they don't understand prophets is because they're not prophetic. I believe every leader should be prophetic so they can handle prophets. Many leaders are afraid of prophets. They think they're deep, spooky, flaky. And one of their favorite sayings is, it doesn't take all that. You're too deep. You see too much. You hear too much. You feel too much. You pray too much. And they can't handle prophets. Every pastor needs to hear this. Number one, you should become prophetic so that you can deal and understand prophets. The whole church should be prophetic. But again, you have many leaders that are not prophetic. They preach sermons as they've been taught to do. But other than that, they have no prophetic flow in their life. There's no prophetic flow in the church, in the worship. There's no corporate prophecy, personal prophecy, no activation, no training, no prophetic intercession, no understanding, no teaching on this subject. And so if you are prophetic and you're in that kind of atmosphere, you tend to get discouraged because you're not around an atmosphere that's conducive. Now, I don't tell people to leave their church unless you're being controlled, abused, or beat up. If you're being beat up and run and controlled and abused, don't wait for God to release you. Run for your life. But there are a lot of prophets that are dying. They're in caves. Some of them have given up. They're hurting. They're discouraged. They've just said, forget it. No one understands me. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And my job is to encourage prophets. The Lord told me this years ago. He said, I want you to be a friend of prophets. I want you to love on them, encourage them, bless them, teach them, help them. And I've taken that assignment very seriously. So I love prophets. I love prophetic people. I love to be around them. I understand them because I'm prophetic, so it's no problem. I know the supernatural element of the prophetic. I know what happens when prophets get together. When I say prophets again, I'm not saying anyone is a five-fold ministry prophet, but we're all prophets in the sense that we have the Spirit of God upon us. When prophets get together, something supernatural will happen. When prophets worship, or when prophets pray, or when prophets prophesy, there is a divine release of God's power. Here's a prophet speaking, Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's it. The prophet is saying, all God wants out of you. Listen, not a bunch of religious stuff, not a bunch of sacrifices, not a bunch of shouting and dancing and falling out, not a bunch of robes and incense and crosses, not collars, canes, hats, cups, not processions, marching in. Now you can do that, but God not requiring that. All God requires is you to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. That's it. So prophets will deal with those three areas. Notice the first thing he says, do justly. Now listen, I talked about hypocrisy. One of the major things, and I have a tomorrow, we're gonna go over what grieves prophets, what stirs prophets, what prophets love, what prophets hate, what prophets do. One of the things that really, beside hypocrisy, one of the things that really bugs a prophet is injustice. Injustice. Prophets always say, but it ain't right. That's not right. Prophets do not like to see people mistreated. They hate when the powerful take advantage of the weak. They hate when powerful people use their power to control, abuse, and mistreat those who are not as strong as them. That bugs a prophet. Whether it's racial, whether it's religious, whether it's economic, injustice. In other words, treat people fair. This happens in our churches. Sometimes people are not treated fair because we have leaders that feel as if they're God's gift to humanity. And they'll always tell you, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Or don't say, but they can abuse, control, take advantage of, beat folk up. They can be bullies in the pulpit. And nothing worse than a pulpit bully. We got them in every city. Bullies in the pulpit. They preach on people. They beat up people. They make people feel this little. They mistreat people because they're anointed. And you just a little member. You don't question my authority. So one thing the Lord showed me is this. He said, the more power you have, the more careful you need to be not to use your power to mistreat people. That's why some people want power, but they're not ready for it. Prophet is just saying, I'm sorry. I can't go along with this. Prophet is saying, you may hate me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's wrong. Kick me out. I can't walk around ignoring this anymore. The first response of a prophet to hypocrisy and injustice is generally not pointing it out. What it does, it drives in the prayer. They begin to pray. They begin to ask God to intervene. God, do something. This is not right. They will confront, but they will also pray. But there's something in a prophet that makes them different. They just cannot tolerate injustice. It bugs them. They can't sleep. They wake up thinking about it. They go to bed. Everybody's shouting and dancing. They looking like this. The Holy Ghost only moves where there's humility. And prophets want to see a move of God. And you wonder why churches don't have a move. They're too proud. They know everything. Proud of their denomination. Proud of their building. Proud of their success. Proud of their pastor. Holy Ghost trying to move everybody standing there looking important. I love to go to them conferences with all the bishops up there and they act like they got a praise exemption. Amen. They ain't got to praise God. They just stand there looking important. What you got, a get out of jail free card? You got to get out of praise free card? Pride, unbelief, things that grieve prophets. Prophet be like, ain't no need y'all doing nothing. God ain't finna move here. Hey, prophets, ain't nothing finna happen here. Not with all this Leviathan up in here. This place is Leviathan. Amen. Leviathan Central. You know, most ministers, they want big ministries. They want to be successful and famous and have big churches and be on television and Everybody love them. And then, you know, everybody, you know, men generally have egos and they want to be successful. But see, this is not about the praise of men. Now, God, men can praise you. Nothing wrong with that. But that is not your priority. That is not what you're ministering for. When you love the praise of men more than the love of God, you'll never follow the truth, because truth will make you make a decision. Sometimes truth is unpopular. Everybody doesn't like the truth. And sometimes you got to go with the truth, whether it means persecution or not. You may hate me, but I'm going to follow the truth. I love you. I bless you. I'm going to stay with it. I'm sorry. I just cannot compromise my conviction. You'd be shocked at the preachers that they will compromise because they're looking for a position and a promotion. Then you got the bishop elects, the bishops on standby. I'm like, what's a bishop elect? Is that when you stand by passenger? When somebody get bumped from the flight, they get up, when one of the bishops get bumped, they get the seat, you know? I told folk a long time ago, I don't have to be a part of your club. If you love me, God bless you. If you don't, because see, the prophet, listen to me. If the prophet has no friends, they're the friend of God. That's what I love about being a prophet. God becomes your friend. You don't walk around in self-pity. Nobody loves me. Kill me, God. And look at Matthew 23:6. Here's that pride Jesus is dealing with. Matthew 23:6. Here's a prophet. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. The chief seats. They want the high seats. Pride. They can't sit in a low place. They got to be seen by everybody. They want that high position. Folk love position. Folk will kill you over position. Folk, listen, when folk get a position, they can be on a breathing machine. Tell them to hold on. I ain't going yet. They ain't letting that position go. They be hooked up. Bishop, can we make somebody else? No, not yet. I still got 5 breaths left. People love positions. Pride. That's what prophets hate. Prophets hate folk that are always looking for positions and always maneuvering for position and always slithering in the church trying to get a position and always trying to get next to the leader to get a position. They can detect that stuff quick. Ain't nothing but a serpent, a slick. You just a creep. You just creeping in. And again, you be like, anybody else see this? Can't you see that's a snake? Can't you see his tongue flicking? Yes. Pride. So I'm gonna give you the DNA of a prophet, a real prophet. I'm not talking about all these fake phonies. A real prophet loves what God loves and hates what God hates and sees what God sees. This will make them different. They're not like everybody else. And when you like that, you wonder, am I crazy? Why do I feel this stuff? God, why you call me? Why can't I just be like everybody else? Why stuff bug me? Why can't I shake it? Why I'm up in the middle of the night praying? Lord, can this wait till the morning? Why I'm dreaming this stuff? No, you're prophetic. You might as well accept it and stop trying to run from it, because God called you to it and you need it. Because we don't have people like this, the church ends up being messed up. When you kill all these folk and put them out, church is going down. It's going to be full of proud, religious, hypocritical people.
Amen. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity and this privilege. We thank you that we had the ability to come into the very presence of the Almighty God and to hear what thus saith the Lord through impartation and revelation. Thank you, dear God. May we hide this word in our heart, dear God. May we write the vision and make it plain, dear God. May each and every one of us, God, be unctionized to do what it is you have called us to do. You have apprehended us for a reason. Yes. Now may we follow after that. We may apprehend that reason and overtake it and do it with all of our might, dear God. I pray, dear God, that every prophet that you have called would arise, and everyone that you have not called that have gone out would be shut down in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray for fresh revelation, dear God. I pray it from the top to the bottom, God. I pray that you bless every pastor with the prophetic revelation and understanding, that none of them try to control the Spirit of God, but Lord, that they all get in the move of the power of God and utilize it, Father. Let it flow in their ministries, God, that they would see the power of God when it has been unleashed, all that you will do, God, for it.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.